Good evening and thank you very much for joining us in our broadcast here this evening, broadcasting from St. Faith Baptist Church. We trust that the Word of God will be a blessing to you, an encouragement and a help. I want to thank the church again for the opportunity to share the Word of God with you. This is my 10th and final night with you. And so thank you for your encouragement. Thank you for your attention. And we do pray that the Word of God will be a blessing to all who have tuned in and indeed who all are tuning in even tonight. Let's just commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for the opportunity just to meet here in this fashion, to spend time around the Word of God. And Lord, it's a wonderful thing to be able to do. We know that Mary realized how privileged she was when she sat at the feet of the Savior. And Lord, may we appreciate tonight as we sit around thy Word, Lord, that the blessing can come from it. We pray, Lord, again that the Lord Jesus Christ in all things will have the preeminence. Lord, that the Spirit of God will indeed empower the Word of God and bring the truth of it home to every heart here this evening. Bless all who have tuned in. You know the different homes, the different families, the different needs and burdens. And we ask, Lord, that the God of all grace will draw nigh, and that thy grace will be sufficient in these days. So, Lord, undertake and, Lord, give us help tonight. We pray, Lord, that the Word of God will be a blessing and a challenge and an encouragement. And Lord, that the Spirit of God will do his own work as we seek to minister this evening. For it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're coming back to Colossians. We're going to finish this little epistle this evening. Colossians chapter 4. We're reading again from the verse number 7. Colossians chapter 4 and reading from verse number 7. Thank you again for tuning in. And we pray you'll stay with us and hear what the Lord has to say this evening. Colossians chapter 4 and reading from verse number 7. All my state shall Titicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that I might know your estate and comfort your hearts, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister, son to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, they only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always labouring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record, that he hath a great zeal for you, and for them that are in Laodicea, and them that are in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds, grace be unto you. Amen. And we trust the Lord will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts again this evening. You'll remember when we come to the end of this little epistle last week, we talked about newspapers and how there may be favourite sections in the newspaper. And so it's probably the same with the Word of God. There are passages we find easy to read, and other passages perhaps are difficult, and we may be tempted to skip over them. One such passage may be the final paragraph here in this letter from Paul to the church at Colossae. We have name after name after name of those who helped Paul. We mentioned at the beginning of the meeting last week some important points, how that Paul realized that he couldn't do the work on his own, how the people realized that Paul couldn't do it on his own. And something like 100 or more people Paul mentions at the close of his epistles, those who were helpers in different ways. And we were encouraging each other to be helpers and to see ourselves as laborers together. We then come to inspect the portrait. I have called this a group photograph. This, if you like, is Paul's group photograph as he comes to the end of this little epistle. And we looked at some of the names in this group photograph, we looked at Tychicus and we put the word however. However he could help, he was willing to help. We looked at Onesimus and John Mark. Remember, Onesimus was a runaway slave. It appears that he had stolen something and ran away. And when he found himself in prison, Paul led him to Christ. And now he's going back again, and Paul wants to encourage Philemon, who appears to have been the man he worked for, wants to encourage Philemon to accept him readily. Then, of course, there was John Mark, or Marcus, as he's called here in Colossae. He was the one who went with Paul and Barnabas on the first missionary journey, but he bailed out. He ran away. He walked away from his duties and left the two men in the lurch, but here he is back serving the Lord. And Paul says, make sure you receive him. I wonder, is there a reluctance sometime for us to receive those who have backslidden? And Paul would encourage us to welcome them back into the fold. And so with Tychicus, we could write the word however. With Onesimus and John Mark, we wrote the name never. With Aristarchus, we wrote the word wherever. Remember, he had been at a riot in Ephesus. He had been shipwrecked with Paul. But wherever, here in prison with Paul, wherever he was found, he was faithful to help Paul and to further the preaching of the old rugged cross. We then finished off last week with this man called Jesus Justus. And we said, whatever. Because he was a Jew, one of the few Jews who helped Paul. And being a Jew, it meant that when he would identify with Paul, he was identifying with Christ. He would become an outcast. He would be one who would probably be ostracized from his family. But whatever it would cost, he was willing to support the work of the Lord. You can see this portrait this evening. Now we come to another one. We're in verse number 12. And his name is Epaphras. He really is the reason for this letter. He appeared to be the pastor or an elder in the church at Colossae. And he has traveled to Rome to tell Paul what's going on at the church in Colossae. Things were going well in Colossae, but there was a danger. Round about there was a heresy about, and Epaphras feared that it may come into the church. Isn't it great to see an elder who really was concerned about what was being taught? A man who loved the word of God and wanted to see the truth protected in the assembly at Colossae. Look at verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. And those two cities are within a 10-mile radius of Colossae. Paul says he's one of you. He probably was their pastor, as I have said, certainly was an elder. He's a servant of Christ. A Julius is the word that's used here. Look what he says in verse 13. For I bear him witness that he hath a great zeal for you. That word zeal is translated in Revelation 16 verse 10. Let me read the verse to you. And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, here in the midst of the tribulation, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. That's the same word. Again in Revelation 21 verse 4, in a positive sense. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. That's the same word. This man was in pain. He hurt for them. He had a burden for them. He had a pastor's heart for them. And even though he's far away from them, Paul says he's on his knees for you. Because a man with a heart and a burden will be a man who will be a man of prayer. Look again at verse number 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and for them that are in Laodicea and them that are in Hierapolis. How did he labor fervently for them? Well, he labored fervently in prayer. The word means to agonize fervently. He agonized for them. He was in pain. He was in agony for them. He really agonized in prayer for them. The word is translated in Romans 15 verse 30 by the word strive. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together. That's the same word. John 18, verse 36 is translated by the word fight. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight." It's translated by the word agony, used of Christ in Gethsemane. Luke 22, verse 44, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly." Here's how Epaphras prayed for them. He would strive, he would fight, he would agonize in prayer for them. Here was a man who was paying for them. Here was a man who would agonize in prayer for them. What a man of God he was. What's he praying for? Look again at verse number 12. "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand." It's good to stand. Perfect. The word perfect means mature. As I said, there was false teaching all around. And there was popular teaching all around. And it promised so much. And really, what Epaphras wants is for them to be mature. Not like children tossed about with every wind of doctrine. He wanted them to be mature. He also wanted them to be complete. That word complete means fully assured. He wants them to be well taught. And he wants them to know that they're well taught. And he wants them to have confidence, to have full assurance in what they believe. You see, he didn't want them to be led astray. He didn't want them to go down bypath meadows. He wanted them to stay in Colossae, in the assembly, and to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior. He wants them to be mature in doctrine. And he wants them to be mature in behavior as well. I put the word achiever beside Epaphras. Oh, when we think of he had traveled about 1,000 miles just to let Paul know what was been happening. This letter was going back to the church in Colossae to teach them and to encourage them and direct them. What an achiever he was for Jesus Christ. And this is, as I say, this is why we have this letter, and this is what instigated this response. He was a praying man. The effectual prayer and prayer of a righteous man surely availeth much. You see, Tychicus, however he could help. You see, Onesimus and John Mark, never. People would have said, never, 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 but not Paul. You see, Aristarchus, wherever, where it's a riot, a shipwreck, in prison, I'm there with you. You see, Jesus' justice, whatever it cost. You see, Epaphras, what an achiever. All for the glory of Christ. What a group photograph. Look at verse 14. We'll see some more characters here. Here's one that everybody knows. Luke, the beloved physician. He appears to have been Paul's private physician, if you like. As he accompanied Paul, he would look after the health of this a great man. And it's important to be concerned with the health of the servants of God. Look at verse 11. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Coming near the end of Paul's life, he says, "Only Luke is with me." What a blessing Luke must have been to Paul. He was a physician, but he had given his talents over to the Lord. And I put the word clever down here. He was a clever man. He was a physician. But you know, he put Christ first. And how God blessed him. He ended up giving us two books in the Bible. We have Luke and we have the Acts of the Apostles. Two books in the inspired canon. And you know, if he had continued as a doctor, it probably would have been a lucrative career. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we would know nothing about him, and his name wouldn't have appeared in this great book, nor would he have authored these two books inspired by the Spirit of God. Forever, this beloved physician will be linked with Paul. Here's a man, he was so clever, but he gave it all to the Lord. You see Tychicus, however. You see Onesimus and John Mark, never. You see Aristarchus, wherever. Jesus, justice, whatever. You see Epaphras, the achiever. You see Luke, he was clever. Let me mention others, and I've just said the word forever. Look at verse 15, Colossians 4. "Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in his house." No names given here, only this man called Nymphis. These people are not in the photograph. Their names aren't mentioned here except this one man. And it talks about the brethren and the church that's in his house. But here are a lot of people, and they're working in the background, and their names aren't mentioned here. Tell me, would you do it if nobody mentioned your name? You see, they're just anonymous. And how would we ever cope without those who work quietly in the background, whose names are rarely mentioned? They just do it quietly, sincerely, and faithfully for the Lord. Forever, all of us will be indebted to the anonymous who serve the Lord in this way. Sometimes it's a ministry, sometimes it's even just the ministry of giving. You see Tychicus, however. You see Onesimus and John Mark, never. You see Aristarchus, wherever. Jesus, Justice, whatever. Epaphras, the achiever. Luke was clever. You see others, and we're forever indebted to them. You see the important points. You see how we inspect the portrait. But here's the infamous prospect here. Because there's a name mentioned here I missed out, and there's a church mentioned here. Look at verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea. I want you to think of Demas, and I want you to think of Laodicea. Verse 16 again. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. Here's Demas here, first of all. Here's the group photograph. I don't know where he stood in the group photograph. Of course, I'm using my imagination. Maybe he's front and center. Do you ever look back over your old wedding album? And you can see some people in it, and the truth is, if you were getting married today, they wouldn't be in it. So, some perhaps who were married to people in your family, and now they're divorced and they're gone, you wouldn't want them about the photograph at all. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad when you look at these old photographs, and someone who was standing there a few years ago, and now they're gone? I'm not talking about those who have gone home to be with the Lord, but they've left the family. And here is a group photograph. Here is Demas, and he's standing front and center. He's serving the Lord. He's with the Lord. He's been encouraged in the Lord. But you know, we're going to see in a moment, in a few years' time, he's gone. Paul says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Verse 14, Demas greet you. You know, in Philemon, we read of him in verse 24. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. Here in Philemon, he's called a fellow laborer. Here in Colossae, he's greeting the people of God. He's in good standing with God. Now, come over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to see this tonight. I want this to sink deep into your heart tonight, if you forget everything else. Here's Demas. He's in the picture. He's front and center. He's a man going on with the Lord, serving the Lord. What could ever go wrong? Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Is that not one of the saddest verses in Scripture? You know, if you look back over some old church photographs, and maybe there are some brothers or sisters and they're no longer with you. And as I say, it's not that they've gone home to glory, and we understand that. They're no longer going on with the Lord. They would no longer want to be identified with an assembly. John Bunyan thinks that Demas' problem was the love of money. He thinks when Paul was in prison in Rome, he could see Paul, he could look around Rome, he could see all the music, the feasts, the gorgeous homes. And Bunyan says, I think the devil whispered in his ear and said, Demas, would you rather have a jail cell with Paul, or would you rather have one of these fine houses? It can all be yours if you'll sell out to me. And Demas bought the lie. So Demas walked away, having loved this present world. Tell me, is the devil giving you a hard time tonight? Is the old devil whispering into your ear, come on, there's something better here? You know, Demas would cause us to shed a tear. Was it a job? Was it a salary? Was it some material thing? Someone asking you to swap Jesus for something like that? It's a pure swap. But there's not only Demas here that would cause us to shed a tear. Back in Colossians 4, verse 16. We're back in Colossians 4. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans. It's good to read the word of God. And it says here that this epistle was to be read. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading. It's good to read the word of God. So important to read the word of God. And verse 16 says this letter was to be shared with the church in Laodicea. And apparently they got a letter. We don't know what it is. No point speculating. It too was to be shared with the church here in Colossae. Now what about the Laodiceans? Well, I think you know something about them. Come over to Revelation chapter 3. You see, Demas was a man in good standing when they took this photograph. Laodicea was a church in good standing when Paul closed this little epistle. And you can see that Demas, in a very short period of time, he departed from Paul. He forsook Paul. He forsook the Lord because he loved this present world. Could it happen to you? Yes, it could. Yes, it could. You need to stay close to the Lord. Here's a church in good standing, faithful, and Paul readily identifies with it. Now come to Revelation 3 verse 14. Here's what the Lord Jesus said. Now unto the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. And here's what the Lord said. You're neither cold nor hot. I were that thou were cold or hot. So then thou art lukewarm and neither cold or hot. I will spew you out from my mouth. Verse 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Here's the Lord. He's not even getting out of the car park in this church. He's standing outside the door and he's looking to come in, but they don't want Christ. This church had grown lukewarm. This church was now making the Lord sick. And the Lord Jesus was shut out of this church. Could it happen your church? Yes, it could. Yes, it could. You know, they become complacent. We are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And they become self-sufficient instead of Christ-sufficient. And Christ says, you make me sick. You make me sick. You know, this letter was to be read to the believers in Colossae. I wonder how often it was read. Come back to Colossians chapter 1. I'll do this very quickly, I promise you. Colossians chapter 1. You see, how could you be lukewarm after reading this epistle? My suggestion to you is that they set aside the word of God. And this wee epistle wasn't read as often as it should be. You see, this epistle talks about the prominence of Christ. Look at verse 15, Colossians 1. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created. Here's the creator of the world, the prominent one. Look at his position in verse 18, chapter 1. For he is the head of the church, the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Look, here is the prominence of Christ. He's the creator. Here's his position. He's the head of the church. Here's his place. Look at verse 27. In whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Catch this. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The creator of the world. The head of the church is in you. How could you be lukewarm? Look at chapter 2, verse 3. See how precious he is. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We have everything we need in the person of Christ. How could we be lukewarm? Look at the possession, verse 10. Ye are complete in him. We are full. We don't need anything more. How could we become lukewarm? Look at verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. This is Christ's work at the cross. See, the power of Christ. You see, you and I are on the victory side. You know, we lack nothing. How satisfied we are, we're complete in him. How could we ever become lukewarm? Come into chapter 3, do you see our priorities? Look at verse 1. If ye then, or since ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth in the right hand of God. Surely, this is what we want to do. We want to seek those things which are above. This epistle is packed with encouragement and blessing. It even takes us forward to the day that Christ returns, Colossians 3 verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you appear with him in glory. How could we ever let our church become lukewarm? How could we ever be like Demas? I believe that they walked away from the word of God and they stopped being Christ-dependent and become self-dependent. Instead of Christ being sufficient for everything, they thought they could manage just okay in their own. You see the important points tonight. Paul appreciated those who stood with him, and Paul needed them. You see, inspect the portrait as we go around this photograph. Different people, different variety, different characters. God has something for you today. You see the infamous prospect? You know, don't get comfortable. Demas stood at front and center of this picture. Now he's out of the picture. This Laodicean church was solid, conservative, evangelical. Everything that you would want to be or to have in a church. Look at it now. How we need to be so careful. Here's the incentive to progress as we come to a close. Look at verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. We meet this man again in Philemon. Some believe he's Philemon's son. Philemon verse 2, and to your beloved Appia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Some think, as they say, he was Philemon's son. You see in verse 17, his ministry was received from the Lord. That's the only ministry that any of us want. And you see the church was to encourage him in his ministry. Say to Archippus, this man needed encouragement. You see, when you look around this group photograph, what a challenge to this man. Such a godly bunch. What a comfort. The God who's with them is the God who'll be with you. Here's the crux to this man. Verse 17. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Don't be Demas. Don't be like the Laodiceans. Fulfill it. Don't fall short at the end. Fulfill it. Don't fail. Don't falter. Don't stumble. Don't we want to be like the Apostle Paul, Acts 20, verse 24? But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. Paul wanted to finish it well. Paul wanted to fulfill the ministry God had given to him. And he did, you know. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearance. Paul hung in. Paul held on. And Paul went the whole way. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. said, finish the job. The test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. And Paul says, look, fulfill it. Don't stop, don't quit, don't resign. Finish the task that God has given you to do. Don't drop out like Demas. You see the important points here. You see, we need to inspect the portrait. You see the infamous prospect of Demas and Laodicea. You see the incentive to progress. Fulfill it. Keep going. It's worth it. And then you see the intimate plea that Paul finishes with. The salutation, verse 18. By the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds, grace be with you. Amen. This is how Paul would often finish his letters. He had a secretary called Tertius. We read in Romans 16:22, I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. And now Paul takes the pen out of his hands. I'm using my imagination. And he starts to write this little bit himself. He's in prison. He had been beaten. He had been embarrassed. He had lost all his worldly attention. He says, remember my bonds. Not easy being faithful. Remember my bonds. In spite of them, God's using me. Remember my bonds. Just pray for me. And here's how he finishes. Grace be unto you. Amen. You know, if I were to take you back to Colossians 1, to the very start of this little epistle, here's how Paul started it. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you. Grace at the start and grace at the end. You know, it's grace that put you and I on the road of salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith. You know, it's grace that keeps you on the road, isn't it? My grace is sufficient for thee. Do you know something else? Grace not only put you on the road, and grace keeps you on the road, but grace will meet you at the end of the road. 1 Peter 1 verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is brought unto you, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's grace, grace, grace. Grace, grace, God's grace. The grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin. Oh, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. How we thank God for his amazing grace. See the important points. You see, we are to inspect the portrait. You see the infamous prospect. You see the incentive to progress. You see the intimate plea as we draw to a conclusion when we look at these wonderful characters in this group photograph. You know, we could summarize this little book in Colossians 1 verse 18 very simply. That in all things he might have the preeminence. You see, Paul has been talking about our lives. In all of our lives, he should have preeminence. He's been in our homes, hasn't he? He's talked to the husband, he's talked to the wife, he's talked to the children. He's talked to us as parents. All things in our lives, all things in our homes, he should have the preeminence. All things in our churches. And all things that he might have the preeminence. Now, I trust in your life and my life that in all things he will have the preeminence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time we've been able to spend over these weeks just looking at this little epistle to the Colossians. Lord, for the rich teaching that's contained therein. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God will open our eyes, that we will continually behold wondrous things out of thy law. And Lord, that the truth of this little epistle will not be easy forgotten. Lord, that we'll not become a Demas. That the church will not become a Laodicea. But rather, Lord, we'll be able to say in all things, not that he should have the preeminence, but in all things he will have the preeminence. Bless thy word to our hearts, for it's in our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.